While the signs are coming, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you want a deep relationship with us, and you are life itself. And so we ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you may work in our lives in power today, drawing us closer to you and helping us to share your love with all those around us. Amen. Great. So I'm going to be talking today about sharing life based on Matthew chapter 9. Next slide, please. I'm going to start with a real story. So Julie, shown here with the delightful Cassidy on her back, and Julie's story of how she has grown closer to God. That list of people in the top right-hand corner talks of all the different people who have nudged her towards faith. People from her family, friends, people here. Next part of the slide, please. And she describes this faith that she has now as being really an important part of her life. Having a church family, having something to lean on that is strong and constant in the midst of life. Next bit. And she said two things when I interviewed her earlier this week that really sat with me. All the people who nudge me towards faith are people I love and respect. And so I was open to hear what they said. People we know, where we have really good relationships, they'll be open to hear something of what we see because they respect us and they care about us. Next, please. And her advice was, if you're thinking about sharing with your friends, remember they're your friends. They like and respect you for who you are. They're very unlikely to reject you because you mention God or church. But Julie came to know God better through people sharing with her. But if I had mentioned the word evangelism, my guess is that you would have responded and thought, oh dear, scary word. And it seems to have become that to both Christians and non-believers. Next. For Christians, because we fear that if we say to our friends about God, that they will reject us, they'll no longer be our friends. Or we feel that actually we don't live good enough lives to be able to say anything. We fear that we're inadequate. And non-believers in our culture receive three kind of caricatures of Christianity that are pretty off-putting, that we're killjoys. That anything fun is wrong, that we're hypocrites pretending to be perfect, but actually living lives that aren't, and that we're bigots, that we hate people on the margins, hate people who disagree with us. So if you had those kind of caricatures, well, you wouldn't be particularly open. But those kind of caricatures break down when we have real friendships. Ever since I came to know God deeply at the age of 17, I've longed to share that good news with other people. I have found in God meaning for life, someone who loves me deeply and unconditionally, and who brings the best into my life and the things to flourish. But I've struggled in sharing with other people. It's the most difficult thing. Sorry, can we not advance quite so quickly? My heart has pounded as I thought I need to share something. So I'd like to explore three issues I've had that are hopefully helpful for you. Firstly, this question, do my friends actually need the good news? Or are their lives okay already? Next. What is the good news? We use that word. What do we mean? And finally, who? Me? Can I really do this? Or am I too inadequate to be able to share? Next slide, please. So firstly, do my friends really need the good news? I don't know about you, but quite a lot of my friends seem to have life quite sorted. They've got good relationships. They maybe got some worthwhile work that they're doing. They look okay. So I'm interested by what Jesus says when he looks at a wide group of people. Next bit. So when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus could see that actually these neat people need the shepherd. They need God. Let's unpack that a bit. Next slide, please. A while ago, we stayed on a youth hostel that was near a farm in Cornwall. And Tom and Ollie helped rescue some sheep that had got stuck in hedges. Sheep are not actually that wise, perhaps not as wise as they think they are. They need a shepherd, someone to look after them. Next bit, please. They need a faithful companion, someone who is totally committed to them, as Jesus is totally committed to us. He took a bullet for us. He's that committed to us. Next, please. They need someone as a provider and guide. The shepherd knows where the good pasture is. He makes sure that they're okay. And we need to know how to live life well. We need the one who created the world to give us guidance. Next, please. And if they're wise, the sheep will submit to the shepherd. They'll do what he says. We need to submit to the God who loves us and who knows what is best. I'm intrigued that people at this moment, when there's COVID and climate change and some riots in different places around the world, they're looking, they're asking deeper questions, perhaps more than they have recently. Tifun's research says that 25% of adults in the UK have taken part in a virtual church service like this in the last few months. That's an unprecedented level of openness around the questions of life and faith. I reckon unseen since the Second World War. So people are asking, and I guess my question is, are we ready to respond? So we've looked to see that actually our friends do need God. They do need the shepherd, the good shepherd, who loves them. The second thing is, what really is the good news? Next, please. So we use this word gospel in two ways, actually. We use it in terms of the stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about Jesus's life. But we also use it as in its meaning as the good news. Gospel and good news are exactly the same thing. So gospel is just the good news. And I'm using a even less jargony term, sharing life, sharing what life is all about and how to know a really flourishing life. Next, please. So many of us will appreciate peace on a Sunday morning through church, a calm time in the week, that the church family cares about us, that we can know something about God and his ways for living. But if it was just that was all it was, I would suggest that our friends maybe have alternatives, that maybe they go for a bicycle ride or a walk on a Sunday morning or meditate, that maybe they have a caring community around them, that perhaps their worldview is informed by other things. Maybe they would have alternatives for all of those things. And faith is about those things, yes, but also so much more. So what does Jesus say? He's sending out his disciples, his followers, into the world, and he gives them instructions. And what he says to talk about, next please, is this. As you go, preach this message, tell this message. The kingdom of God is near. And kingdom is incredibly important in Jesus's life. If you look through the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see he uses the word kingdom a lot. And what he means by that is where God is ruling over his people and his people are submitting to his authority and living life as he's meant it to be. Next slide, please. So one way, and I find it a very helpful way to think about the good news, is that Jesus said, I've come that they may have life, life in all its fullness. And that is four key relationships. I think intuitively we know that life is not in stuff, it's not in status, it's in relationships. And God says that's true. We need a restored and flourishing relationship with God, with ourselves, to love ourselves unconditionally, because he loves us that way. Have a restored relationship with others and with creation, to look after his creation. Next bit of the slide, please. Jesus says the most amazing thing that I don't think anybody else has actually claimed. He says, I am the life. God is life. Lots of people say they're looking for meaning. They're looking for purpose. What's life all about? Jesus says, this is the answer. I am life. Next bit, please. And that all comes through what Jesus did on the cross. Colossians 1 tells us, as he died, he brought about a reconciliation of all those relationships. And not just a reconciliation, but an opportunity for them to flourish. I think that's wonderful good news, that God is about the whole of our life, and he wants all these key relationships to flourish. That's good news. I wonder whether we're experiencing those relationships flourishing. We can only give away what we have. Next slide, please. So the third question that I have is, who? Me. I often have felt deep inadequate in terms of saying anything about my faith to other people, friends. Next slide, please. I think it's partly because, well, a lot has been about some wrong assumptions. Next bit, please. I've assumed that you have to know lots. You have to know all the answers to be able to say anything. But actually, the disciples were very ordinary, not very educated, and made loads of mistakes. So we don't. We just need to be honest about where we're at and the things we're thinking about. Next, please. Sometimes I thought that in order to be able to share, I'd need to be terribly confident, and I'm actually more shy than that. But God uses all of us, whoever we are. He made you that way. He delights in you that way. You don't have to be someone else. And thirdly, I've felt sometimes we have to have a totally sorted life. But I love this description of sharing the good news that says it's just about one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We're not trying to say we're all sorted and therefore open to the charge of hypocrisy. We're just saying we need bread, we need life, you need life, and we've found somewhere where life or bread is. We found life in Jesus. We're not sorted. He is. Jesus is. So if those are the things we don't need, what do we need to be able to share? Next slide. We actually have to have something to give away. And so I would suggest we need to receive God's love, peace, and joy that he wants to pour into our lives. There are a few practical ways in which we can do that. Next, please. Daily times with God. We can't just rely in our normal lives on one big meal on a Sunday. We need to eat every day. And so Alan has been encouraging us and guiding us about the importance of daily times with God. Next, please. There's an opportunity because New Wine, a Christian festival, is not meeting physically, camping this year, going to be online, for opportunities for you to experience the worship and the sense of the Holy Spirit that can particularly come through that. And Libby could connect you if you want to know more. Next, please. And life groups. Annal and I will be facilitating a new thing called Life Groups, which is all about encountering, meeting with God, understanding his word really simply, the Bible, living it out and sharing it with others in a really welcoming down-to-earth way. And we're going to be piloting two groups. If you're interested, please let Alan or I know. Next slide, please. So we receive and then we're called to overflow. And that picture is in many places. How do we overflow with all the good things that we have received from God? Next bit, please. We just need to love our friends. We just need to care about them. That's the bottom line. If we don't care about them, well, we have nothing to give them. We shouldn't be mentioning faith at all. Next one, please. Be yourself. Next, please. And be open and down to earth about your faith. Not hide it, not push it on people, just include it in your conversation. Next slide, please. And it could be very simple. So next, please. Can be about not gossiping. When I was in Exeter, some friends of mine said, you know, you're different. You don't talk about people badly behind their backs. And I was sharing something of what being a Christian is without even realizing I was doing it. Next, please. The supporting young families, the baby meals that we do in our village are an incredible witness of the generosity and love of God. Next, please. And just having conversations with some God in it, not just naturally weaving him into what we say. Next, please. So as I draw towards a close, I want you to be encouraged wherever you're at. Next, please. Not sure about the whole God thing? That may be where you are. What is all this? It seems strange. This is about a relationship, really? I thought it was just something you did. Next, please. Perhaps you're in a situation where you want to experience more of God's love, peace, and joy. It's been quite head knowledge-y. And you think, actually, I'd want to encounter this God. I want to have a really deeper sense of relationship. Or you could be in a situation where you've experienced that and you want to share life with your friends, but you're feeling nervous about doing so. I'd like to encourage you in any of those situations, you're not on your own. You could ask God directly. He loves to respond when we say we ask him. Or you could potentially explore together in these life groups that we're setting up. Final slide, please. So let's pause now. And I'd like you to think about, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, just to think about which one of those groups, or perhaps another that you're in. Are you someone who's really not sure about this God thing? Are you someone who likes the idea of God but wants more of a relationship? Or are you someone who knows God and wants to give him away, but finds that difficult? Last bit of the slide, please. I want you to be encouraged as I have been encouraged in my life. If you ask and go on asking, it will be given to you. Seek and go on seeking, and you will find. God has staked his reputation on the promises he has made. He does not lie. If you seek him, seriously, keep seeking, you will find him. So let's take just 30 seconds to talk to God about where you're at and what you'd love from him.